All right, so, man, it's been a while since I've got to speak to you, a message, and so, we like to try to surprise people when I'm preaching. We don't tell anybody. That way, you wait till you get in here and you find out, so it's kind of too late. You can't just run out, or we'll call you out, you know, so. But anyway, it's a privilege to come and speak to you tonight. I want to preach tonight something a little different than what I would have normally liked to preach or want to preach, but, this has been on my heart, and I'm determined, now committed, that I'm never going to get up in this pulpit and just come up with something, pick a subject, and do it, and speak my own mind. I've always said, God, if you called me to do this, you're going to have to give me what to say. And so I'm going to speak to you tonight something that's just been on my heart, that I've been looking at and studying, and you're going to be so amazed. So amazed. And if you're not, you can act like you're so amazed. Can you do that? You know, just occasionally, Dale, you're good for a few amens, right? And I got a few more people, some hallelujahs. Right? Yeah, okay, you're giving them. All right, so, but anyway, but now tonight we're gonna kind of get some basic training in. How many of y'all know sometimes it's good to go back to the basics, to go back to the foundations? Today, the title of my message tonight is The Foundations of Salvation. But it's those fundamentals, it's those foundations that, you know, when I first started putting this together, I feel like I was supposed to speak this. I was like, Lord, that's just too elementary. What? Lord, that's just too basic. You know, but then he started bringing it to my mind. Gracie, if Stephen was here, oh, Gracie just, well, what? Yes, hallelujah, amen. What? Gracie, if Stephen was here, a basketball coach, what do you think he would tell us about the fundamentals? Do you think is that something you just learn one time and then you don't go back to it? No, the fundamentals, the foundations of what you do for sports, athletes, they work on those fundamentals hours and hours a day. They work on those fundamentals every time they get a chance. They don't just teach them how to dribble and say, go with it. Man, they do drills. They do all kinds of things to develop those skills and to build on those skills. And there's not a practice that goes by where serious, real coaches and real players don't work on the fundamentals, because they're so important. They're foundational to what they do. They've got to continue to remind themselves and to teach themselves and to train themselves in the fundamentals. And so that's kind of what we're going to do tonight. We're going to go back to the fundamentals, some foundational things about salvation, about this wonderful gift that God's given us of salvation. And as I was studying this, I just couldn't help but get excited. I couldn't help but just get a little bit pumped up about what it is that Christ has provided for us. And so we're going to go through this tonight. We're going to call this some basic training or whatever you want to call it. But there's some interesting things too, I think God wants to bring out and to remind us of tonight as we go through this. So the basics, you know, you've all heard, the ABCs of salvation, you know, admit, believe, and commit the things. And so that's real basic. We talk about that in kids' church all the time. So I want to start off with just the very basic, the very first things that we need, the very first things that's required before salvation is even a possibility, is that first thing. A means admit. We've got to know, we've got to realize that we need a Savior. We've got to realize that we need a Savior. Now, there's a lot of people in the world today that, Christianity, church, God, all that is not even really a thought in their mind, because they don't see themselves as someone who needs a Savior. They think they're okay. They think as long as they're doing good and not committing crimes that everything's good, right? But we've got to come to a point where we realize that we need a Savior. And in Romans 3:23, it says, and this is going to make you feel really good first, okay? In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. Now, who all is included in all? Everybody, right? You know what all means in the Greek? All. That's right. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says that our best day, the best that we can do is still as filthy rags when we compare it to the Lord, compare it to Him, right? And then Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. And so, if you believe the word and you believe the scriptures, you have to realize here that we're a fallen people. We're a fallen people. This is a fallen world. We're born with a sin nature. The Bible says we're born with a sin nature. It didn't just stop at Adam. It grew from there. We're all born with a sin nature. We're not perfect. And we're not righteous in any way. We can't make ourselves righteous. We can't make ourselves clean. We can't make ourselves pure. We have a fallen, sinful nature. We're born that way. We're born that way. And so here's the dilemma. Here's the problem. We're fallen. We're a sin nature. But yet, we desire a relationship, and I assume if you're here tonight, it's because you do desire a relationship with God. But here's just kind of a big picture. I'm just kind of generalizing this. Here is mankind created by God for fellowship with God. But because of sin, because of the death and the sin that came into the world, we are separated from God. We were separated from God. Everybody was separated from God. No fellowship, because God is holy. God is pure. The Bible says there is no darkness in Him. I think that's in John. It says there's no darkness in Him. 1 John 1:5. And so here's the dilemma. The wages of sin are death. The sin brings unrighteousness. And we have no way to be reconciled to God. We had no way to be reconciled to Him. We were cut off from God, who is holy and pure, because He can't, light and dark can't dwell in the same house. It says He has no fellowship with darkness. And so here's the dilemma. Here's the problem. The problem is our sin nature that we're born with. The problem is that we have no way in ourselves to be righteous or to make ourselves righteousness. And so there created the problem, which leads us to our first step of righteousness. We have to realize that we're in need of a Savior, right? So if we are a sinful nature trying to establish a connection and fellowship with a God who's holy and pure and has no part in sin, how many of y'all think we have an issue there? How many of y'all think that's a problem there? But praise God, we know that there was a solution. There was a solution. But the problem is the first thing to move ourselves to salvation is that we have to realize that we need a Savior, right? So can you all agree today? This is kind of, I wasn't going to talk about this, but before I really get to the meat of the message, I wanted to establish this first point, is that we have to know that we need a Savior. If you think you need a Savior, if you know you need a Savior, just wave your hand. Give me an amen. 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 We need a Savior. So I wanted to establish that first, but because God loved us so much, He didn't leave us in that state. Praise God. Because He loved us so much, He wouldn't leave us to our own destruction. He wanted fellowship with us. He created us for that. And it was worth enough to Him to do something about it. Praise God that He did something about it. Praise God He didn't leave us to our own demise and leave us with no hope for eternity. In Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. You all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago at our communion service. But, man, thinking about what Jesus went through for us just to bring us back into fellowship with Him. Just to make a way for us to spend eternity with Him. The Bible says in Luke, you can read about the Gospels of Jesus, but in Luke it talks about how He was mocked, spit on, cursed, and through all that, He stayed the course. Through all that, He chose to lay His life down. Why? Because He loved us. And it was because of that great love that He hung on the cross, tortured, beaten, brutally, hung on the cross, and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's not possible without a measure of love that we can't even imagine. But thank God that He loved us and He made a way. Jesus became our only hope for forgiveness, for righteousness, and for eternity with God. He bridged the gap that no man could bridge. He bridged the gap that we could never do in ourselves. He took the punishment of our sin, the sin of the world, on Himself. Amen? Because he loved us. He paid the price for our sin that he didn't deserve to give us righteousness that we don't deserve. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus did. He rescued us and provided a way of salvation for us. And so that's kind of the precursor to the message tonight. And so we know we need a Savior. And so we know that God's plan was Jesus Christ. And he came as our Savior. He came to rescue us. He came and paid the price that needed to be paid, satisfied the punishment for the sin of the world. And so now it's up to us. He's done the work. He's paid the price. He's made a way. So how do we have this great salvation that Jesus paid the price for? How do we have this great salvation that's the hope of this world? How do we have it? And so that's where I want to get into tonight a little bit about the simplicity. First, I want to talk about the simplicity of salvation. The simplicity of salvation. God made it simple. God knew there was going to be people like me. And he needed to make it simple, right? In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, Paul was talking about, he was talking to the people there, and he was talking about the faith that they preached and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, this is the faith that we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Man, isn't that awesome? Salvation comes down to two simple things. Two ingredients. Just two ingredients. Man, if cooking was that easy, I'd be an awesome chef. I can cook anything that only needs two ingredients. Eggs. You know, that's just one ingredient. I can do eggs. I can grill ribs and steak because I just used one ingredient, meat, and another ingredient. That's a seasoning that I have. It's already packaged. Two ingredients. I mix them together, put them on the grill, and I'm not like Dale. Dale mixes his own seasoning. He's got a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I'm not that good. I'm not that talented. But two ingredients. Man, how simple is that? Two things, he says, that are required for you to be saved. So we're going to talk about those two things. How many of y'all think those two things are important? So we're going to talk about those two things. I know this thing is basic, but I really, when I started digging into these two things, and let me tell you this, I really feel like this is important tonight, and the Lord had this on my heart. I was already looking at this, but I was talking to someone just the other day, and it's somebody that's new to the church, and they're not in here, so don't be looking around thinking, "Oh, I wonder if it's Roger. Wonder if that's Sister Arlene back there." No, they're not in here. But anyway, but I was talking to somebody, and I was asking them, you know, they hadn't been coming very long to church, and I was asking them, I said, have you given your heart to Jesus? Have you asked Jesus to be Lord of your life? Are you saved? And this person said, oh yeah, I'm saved. I said, when did you get saved? He said, I got saved back in Sunset's month. That's when I started coming. And I said, so I just wanted to clarify. I just wanted to get out of it. I said, so man, have you prayed and just made a commitment to God and asked him to come in and be Lord of your life, to come in your life and be Lord of your life? He's like, well, I said, no, I started coming to church, you know, and just talking to this person is just, this person thought that they were saved because they started coming to church. And man, I love this person. And I was kind of shocked, but at the same time, I was excited, you know, because I was like, man, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to win a soul for Jesus. They came to church. They come to church because they like the people here and they like church and like being around the people at church. But they didn't understand. They didn't even know. They didn't know the basics of what we take for granted, you know, that God sent his son. They didn't know the gospel. They didn't know, you know, it kind of reminds you how important it is to be able to talk people through the gospel and to talk people, not church language, but non-church language, to tell people what this great thing is that God's done for us. To tell people about the salvation that's available. And I found myself struggling to not use church language and to try to tell this person about Jesus, you know? And so, man, I was like, that's why this has been on my heart. That's why God's had me studying this and looking at this, and we all need to know the foundation of what it is to be saved. We all need to know, and all need to know and be ready to explain. The Bible says be instant in season and out of season. We all need to be ready to share the gospel in as basic and as simple form as we can to introduce somebody to our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. If we can't do that, then we've missed the boat completely. If I can't do that, I've missed the boat completely, because when we come into the kingdom of God, our first and foremost responsibility, other than committing ourselves and loving God, is to share the gospel. That's what we're here for, to be a light to a lost and dying world. Amen? And so as I started studying this, just going back to the basics and studying this, man, the Lord just really, I read some things and saw some things that I hadn't seen before. And this may be common knowledge to all you guys, but man, I was like, really? Is that what that means? And, you know, looking up the Hebrew words and stuff. But I just want to lay it out for you tonight. I just want to talk you through it tonight and just do a little basic training. Y'all ready for it? All right. So two things are required for salvation. One, the scripture says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Most of my life, and I've read this before, but most of my life, I think, you think of confess, what do you think of? Just saying something, right? Or just admitting something. Praying something. Saying a prayer. But confess is much more than just speaking something. It's a lot more than just uttering something out of your mouth. It's not just a statement or a prayer. But confess, if you look up in the Greek, the Greek word there is homologeo. I think I said that right. I think that's the first time I've said that right. Thank you, Lord. Homologeo. But it means, it's made up of the word homos, which means the same, and lego, which means to speak. That's not the toys you play with, all right? That's not the things you put together, the lego. Although, anyway. But it means to speak the same thing, to assent, accord, to agree with. It's not just a statement. It's not just lip service. Anybody can do lip service and say, I'll confess, I'm a Christian. Anybody can say that. So those words, anybody can say a prayer. Anybody can say the sinner's prayer. But unless it's an agreement, a coming into agreement and accord with the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's not confess. That's what this word means here. It means to come into agreement with, coming to agreement with and accord with. Agreement with who He is. Agreement with why He came. Agreement with what He accomplished by coming. It's coming into agreement with that. It's binding yourself with. Jesus said in John 14:6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. You want to know who He is? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's a lot of religions out there today, even religions that call themselves Christian religions, that do not point to Jesus as the way. That they try to say you can get to heaven or you can be okay or your eternity secured if they don't believe in heaven. They try to say there's a lot of different things you can do and be all right. There's a lot of different things and beliefs that they say will work, will get you to the end result you want, whether it's through works or acts of service or things like that. But there are a lot of little religions that don't hold Jesus Christ as the way. But Jesus didn't say, I am one of the ways. He didn't say, I am one of the truths or I am an option for life. He said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. And only through Me can you get to the Father. Only through Me. There's only one doorway. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to eternity in heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's no other way to the Father other than to believe and come into agreement with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Coming into agreement with. Being in accord with. Also, that word carries an element of surrender. And if you're looking and studying through that word, it talks about, it even gives an example of confessing, you know, confessing of something to a crime. Basically, surrender, laying aside whatever you thought about yourself and coming into agreement with what He says about you. Laying aside everything that opposes Him or everything that keeps you from Him and coming into agreement with every word of God that comes out of His mouth. Amen? Coming into agreement. Surrender. And that's a big part of it too, is a surrender. Is coming into agreement with, because to come into agreement with something or to come into accord with something else or somebody else. How many know you have to lay aside some of your things that don't mesh with that person? There's some beliefs, there's some attitudes, there's some habits, there's some lifestyles that you got to lay aside and say, it's not okay anymore to this. I'm coming into agreement with Jesus. I'm coming into agreement with what He's done and what He's said, His character, His nature. Amen? We have to sometimes, what's the saying? Say, we have to sacrifice or get rid of those sacred cows, right? I remember Jesse DePlanis preached a message a long time ago. It says, take my problems but leave me my pigs. It's talking about how we want God to save us, but we want to still wallow in the mess that we're in. But when you want to come into agreement with Jesus Christ, you got to lay those things aside. Worldly desires, our own will, our own way, and sometimes even traditions. You know, this is a big thing. Traditions is a big thing. And I was looking at that word traditions when I was studying through this. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, traditions are good. The Bible says to keep the traditions. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, therefore, stand fast and hold the traditions that you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. And I've heard people use that. But the word there, the Greek word for traditions there is paradosis. And those things that he's talking about keeping are traditions, are things that there's three ways it's used in the New Testament. But it's talking about teachings and beliefs and things that produce the life of God in your life. That's what you're to hold on to. Traditions, in the words, the sense that they use it there, it's the teachings of the elders. It says of Moses and the judges that pronounce godly judgments, and also the interpretations of the great teachers. The second one was Paul's teachings that he taught, things that he gave the church, instructions that he gave to the church for the building and the edification of the church and for the growth in God. And the third way it was used, and Paul used it in Colossians, it was different from the other two, but it was a warning. It was a warning to his readers about the traditions of men. The traditions of men. And a lot of those, and so anyway, I just thought that was interesting. But those three things, worldly desires, our will, and traditions of men, a lot of times things that hold us back or try to keep us from coming into full agreement with Jesus, full agreement with His Lordship, full agreement with everything He stands for. How many of y'all know, just because mama did it, don't mean it was right? Just because that's the way you grew up, don't mean it's okay to stay that way. Just because such and such does it, or you've always done it, don't mean it's okay. We've got to come to a place where it's more important to us to line up and to agree with, come into agreement with Jesus, than it is to keep those traditions, keep those old ways, and keep those old habits. Amen? All right. Well, praise the Lord. I know that's a popular part of the message about laying stuff down, but it's important. I heard a story. You probably read the story too, about the lady that was getting ready to cook a turkey for Thanksgiving. So she gets it all prepped and everything, and she's about to put it in the pot, and she chops off the back quarter of the turkey and then puts it in the pot. And the little girl, her little daughter, says, Mama, why don't you chop off the end of the turkey? She said, I don't know. It's just what my mom always did. And so the little girl is bothering her and said, but why? She said, okay, well, let's call grandma and see. So she calls her mom and says, hey, mom, we're getting ready for the turkey. And, my daughter asked, why did we cut off the end of the turkey? So why do you cut off the end of the turkey? She said, I don't know. That's just what my mom always did. And so, she's like, I really don't know why. So she said, well, I'm going to call mom and ask her. And so she called mom and she said, hey, mom. She said, hey, mom. This question came up. Why do we cut off the end of the turkey? And her mom, which was the great grandmother to the other little girl that asked, said, well, when we were growing up, my roasting pot was a little small, so I just always cut off so it would fit. And so, just because it's a tradition, just because you've always done it, just because mama always did it, or that's the way you were raised, doesn't mean it has any value. It doesn't mean it has any use. And it's those things that we have to lay aside, the things that do not have eternal value, the things that don't produce life in you or life in your family, and do not line up and align with what God says that we need to lay aside and get rid of. Amen? Come into agreement with all of these things. All those things are things that keep you from coming into agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ooh, we got to move. So, the second part of that verse. So, confess with your mouth the Lord. Now, you notice it says confess. And so, you know, confess isn't just a statement. Because then it says confess with your mouth. And so, that would be kind of redundant. So, I want to really drive this home. The confession is not simply a statement, but it is a position, a devotion, and an agreement with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? But it says confess with your mouth. This agreement, this accord, this surrender is not to be a secret thing. It's not to be something you keep hidden. How many of y'all sang the song? Remember as a kid? I hide it under a bushel? No? What? Cece, you want to come up and sing that for us? You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know the song. But it's not meant to be a secret thing. Matthew 10:32-33 says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. In Jesus' day, this agreement with him as Lord wasn't a popular thing. For those that stood up and stood out and said, I believe, there was persecution, there was rejection, there was punishment and even death for standing up and openly confessing and proclaiming that Jesus was Lord. Now today, it's becoming less and less popular. Have you not noticed that it's becoming less and less popular, less and less accepted to say that you're a Christian or say that you're a Bible-believing Christian? The standards of God's Word are becoming less and less popular. You've seen it. You've seen the news. If you stand up and say, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, you're immediately labeled a bigot and intolerant and, you know, all kinds of other things that they say about you. How do you know it's not popular? But this thing is not something you can do in secret. The Bible says, confess me before men and I will confess you before my Father. Maybe for you, it took a lot of courage to when you came to realize that Jesus was Lord. Maybe if you grew up in a home that wasn't a Christian home, I can't imagine. I grew up in a Christian home. I was blessed with that. So it wasn't a shock or a big step for me to say I'm a believer. But some of you didn't grow up that way. And I know for some of you, it took courage to stand up and say, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm changing. For some of you, it meant changing your whole lifestyle. For a lot of us, it meant changing what you do and how you do life and who you hang out with. For a lot of you, it meant laying down a lot of things and being bold and courageous and saying, I believe in Jesus. Maybe that's you. I don't know your situation. But when you find the life that Jesus provided, when you confess Him as Lord and you openly declare, man, there's just something about saying openly, coming out and saying, I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. I live for Jesus. I trust in the Word of God. I believe in the Word of God. I believe in the standards and the things that the Word of God says. There's just something about making that bold stand that builds faith inside of you. There's something about making that bold stand and openly declaring Jesus Christ that brings in a power that you don't have otherwise. Amen? And it brings in, you know what I'm saying? How many of y'all have been there? Even me, I grew up in a Christian home. I've been saved for a long time. But even still today, sometimes to publicly declare God's Word or that you're standing on God's Word or that you believe, sometimes when that takes courage. But when you do it, God will never leave you hanging out there alone. When you step up and confess Him and proclaim His Word and what it says about you and your situation, God will back it up. Amen? I've said it before. It's not up to us to worry about the results. All we got to do is be obedient. All we got to do is step out and God will back it up with the results. God's power will work in your life. You can have joy when it doesn't seem to be any way you should have joy. You can have peace when it doesn't make any sense for you to have peace. That peace that passes all understanding. You can have provision when the rest of the world is in downturn and economic distress. God can bless you. But you're going to have to confess Him. You're going to have to boldly proclaim that you're a child of God. Because God, by doing that, God will be the one to get all the glory. It's not anything you can do in yourself or anything you've worked out on your own. But our blessing and our increase and our favor, it comes from God and God alone. Amen? And when He's the one promoting you, you can guarantee you'll have promotion. Amen? So when you find the life that Jesus provides, and when you come to realize that your eternity is secure, that Jesus made a way, that all the things of this life, the Bible says it's just like a vapor. And when we can understand that this is just, this life is just a vapor. What we're doing these few short years, what you do here and what you believe and how you carry yourself will determine your eternity. And when you come to the realization that God has secured an eternity in heaven with God the Father for you in paradise, well, I tell you, there's nothing that can take that feeling away from you. There's nothing that can take that peace away from you. There's nothing that can take that comfort away from you. And one day, when you stand before God, and when you stand before God and Jesus steps up on your behalf and says, He's mine. He's mine. He's one of us. He's a believer. He believed in me. His destiny, His eternity, it's paid for by my blood. You will never have a single thought about the things you left behind. You'll never have a single thought about those fears that try to keep you from confessing and openly declaring that you're God's. I can't imagine what that's going to be one day. Can you imagine what that's going to be when Jesus said, He belongs to me? When Jesus said, Roger belongs to me. Come on in, Roger. Gracie belongs to me. Let her in. Her eternity is sealed. Quinta is my daughter, paid for by my blood. Come on in. To know, boy, I just can't imagine the feeling that that's going to be. It's going to be a joyous time. Amen. So confession is an open declaration. It's not just a statement, but it's an open declaration of your relation to Him, your dependence on Him, your devotion to Him, and your belief in Him. Confess with your mouth. Despite your fears, despite everything that opposes Him, despite everything that would try to lure you away from Him, we've got to confess that He's Lord. Amen. I was reading a commentary about this, and this is what it said. I don't write this fancy, so I'm going to read it where it said. It said, justification by faith lays the foundation of our title to salvation. But by confession, we build on that foundation and come at last to the full possession of that to which we're entitled. Amen? Faith is the key. You got to have faith before you can ever confess. There's got to be an element of faith there. It's by grace through faith that we're saved. We got to have faith. But confession and everything that I've just told you that this confession means, that's what I'm talking about. Confession, that's what brings the full reward of His salvation to us. Amen? Praise God. And it says it brings the full, I love the way it says that, full possession of that to which we were entitled. Not that we deserve it. We're not entitled to it because we deserve it, but we're entitled to it because He granted it. Amen? Because He paid the price for it, and He gave it to us freely. Amen? How many of you, if Pastor Cricket came to you and said, hey, I've been talking to my dad, and we decided that the church wants you to have this, and it was something of value, how many of you would feel like you couldn't have that, or you couldn't take that? If they handed it to you and you walked out, we've got the pastor of our campus pastor and our senior pastor said, Cece, it's yours. If you walked out that door and somebody saw you and said, you can't have that, it's the church's, what would you say? Would you say, oh, whoa, you're right? No. But because our spiritual authority had said, you're entitled to it, you'd say, no, it was given to me. It was given to me, it's mine. And you take it home, right? Same thing here. God has given it to us. God has said, you're entitled to this. God said, I've provided it for you. I've paid for it. I've offered it to you. It's yours. Accept it. But how many times does the enemy try to come and say, you don't deserve that. You can't have that. You can't, you know, on and on and on. But we just need to address him and say, you know what? This is mine. It was given to me. Bought, paid for. It's mine. And we need to lay hold of that. Come into agreement with Jesus and boldly confess that He is our Lord. Amen. The second part of that is Believe, the second part of that is believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And I'll just read something I read on this. It says the profession of faith, so confession, profession of faith without the mouth, just making a statement, without the power of the heart is just a mockery. Lip service, just saying one thing and not following up with a true belief and faith in your heart, it's a mockery. But how many know when you believe it in your heart, there's power behind. There's power behind that confession, that coming into agreement with, that proclamation. There must be a sincere acceptance, belief of the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially concerning the resurrection. Amen? The resurrection is the foundation of the Christian faith. Real quick, I know it's time to close. Resurrection of Jesus, we must believe. It proved that he was the Son of God. It proved that God accepted the price that he paid as payment in full for our sin. It proved that Jesus had triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. It fulfilled all that was needed to purchase your life, to purchase life everlasting for you. And God made salvation a simple gift. And here's, and it's available to everyone. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, God from the beginning chose you for salvation. Everybody say, he chose me for salvation. And so it's time to go. I got to wrap up or Joe's going to start flashing the lights. But man, this is just the basic foundation, the easiest, simpleness of salvation. Did it bless you tonight? Did you get it? Did you receive what it was? But here's the cool thing about this. This simple pattern for salvation is the same simple pattern that God has provided for receiving anything from him. If you can receive salvation, cleansing of your sins, by this same simple pattern, you can receive anything that God has said is yours. If you need healing, if you need provision, if you need protection, if you need peace, if you need joy, go on and on. Anything, whatever it is that you need. Whatever it is that you need, if you will come into agreement with him, find your story, find what you need in the Word, come into agreement with it, and then boldly confess and believe in your heart, then you can have it. The Bible says when you pray, if you ask believing, then you will have what you ask for. This same simple pattern is what God wants us to use to obtain all the promises that God has in his word for you. To obtain all the things, everything in the word where it says that is your inheritance through Christ. This is how you get it. This is the pattern to use to receive it. And so I want to encourage you tonight. Come into agreement with him. Believe in your heart. And everything that you're praying for during this fasting, time of prayer and fasting, everything you're believing for, follow this pattern and watch and see if God doesn't manifest his power and his salvation in your life. I love it in Psalms 91, and it says, show me your salvation. It's in there. If you abide in him and he in you, if you dwell in the secret place of God, the Bible says that he will show you his salvation. And so I just believe if you follow this simple pattern he's given us for salvation, then you will see his salvation in every area of your life. Not just salvation for eternity, but salvation in every hour. You need salvation. You need God to save you from anything the enemy has laid in front of you. This is the way to do it. Confess. Come in agreement with him. Believe in your heart and you'll have it.